price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray. You can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a future fade.
Time for you to get down on your knees and pray.
I came to
save the world. To the good old days. They never go. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I had a little bit of technical difficulties here. I'm not sure what the hell the problem was there. Everything got weird. Like, it wasn't connecting. And then I'm trying to, like, talk, and I couldn't hear anything. I don't know what the hell the problem was, dude. I have no idea. What's going on, you guys? It's your boy, Chef Plum. Welcome to Fun Love Foods Live. We are Season 4, Episode 30, as we come close to the end of the finish line here for Season 4. Start Season 5 of this very program. Looking forward to doing that, man. It's awesome. I enjoy doing it, coming down here on a Monday night, running my mouth and talking to you guys. If you weren't around, you missed an amazing pre-show on Station Head, man. Station Head's going to overtake the world, I'm telling you. We had Jace K on here. He's one of the programmers of the app. He was on here last week talking about it. And, God, it's just so fun, man. It's the funnest thing ever. I'm telling you, you have to get on this app. You got to give me a message. I got some invite codes. I can get you on there. I'm telling you, man, it's so much fun. I think you guys would all really, really enjoy it. I can't express enough how fun it is. We got on there for a long time. We did play the hashtag game, which we'll play a little bit tonight of. On a much different way, because it's a little bit different show on there than it is here. So anyway, check it out, stationhead.com. And, of course, you can hit me up on socials. Let me know if you want to get down with this app. I can shoot you an invite code and get you on board, man. This app is fantastic. So much fun. Well, it's 10:09. The goddamn show is 10 minutes in. I'm just now getting on here and getting the table set. Crazy working this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to tell you tonight, I got a cool guest coming on, man. Our buddy Chef Joe from over there, Chef and Ain't Easy. Let me tell you something. This guy, I had a conversation with him this afternoon. Just full of positivity, full of supporting other people. I totally love that. Totally dig that. Because you guys know I made a vow in 2017 to get rid of all the negative people in my life. And I've done so. And it sounds like this guy over at Chef and Ain't Easy, who I tell you, I don't know him. I don't know Joe very well. I've talked to him on the phone once, social media a little bit. Really dig what he stands for. Really, really dig it. Super nice guy. So looking forward to hearing the story. And the clothes are dope as shit, dude. If you haven't checked them out yet, check them out at Chef and Ain't Easy. You can type it on Etsy. He's got a great store there. Check it out. It really are. They're fucking dope as shit. I just ordered myself a shirt not too long ago. I got it in. And that's when I reached out to Joe. And I was like, dude, I want to talk to you about this. Because what's the story behind it? So it's going to be great to talk to him tonight. And we're also going to, of course, play What Did We Learn? And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we will see what's off the block with Hot Blocks Cutting Boards tonight when it comes to news stories and what's happening around the world of food. So I am having a cold beverage. It's one of my beer nights because, I don't know. Here's the thing. So I leave for Florida here soon and on our vacation. And you know, I'm putting one up here for vacation. Quick one back. That's good stuff right there. Thimble Island Lager. I'm enjoying that. Heading on vacation here very, very soon. As a matter of fact, heading down to Florida. And the funnest part about this is, you guys, I'm so stoked about this. And next week here on the program, guys, it's going to be so exciting. It's more self-serving. It's more for me. Next week on the program, I've got Chef Lonnie Hewat on. And Lonnie's been on here once for a little bit of time, but I'm doing a whole episode with him. Chef Lonnie is my mentor. Chef Lonnie is the guy who taught me. Chef Lonnie is a man who let me run events at a 5-diamond, 5-star AAA mobile rated hotel when I was a fucking kid. He believed in me and gave me a chance, and we hit it off. We've been, you know, friends ever since. Took me to Florida with them. A great guy, and I look forward to having that conversation next weekend with him. I'm going to sit outside on the terrace of my condo in Florida as I overlook the beach, drink a cocktail, and have a great conversation with Chef Lonnie. That's the plan. That is the plan. We're going to recap some stuff. We'll talk about history. And I know he wants to talk a lot about people who work in the industry today and how that's changed and not quite what it used to be. It seems like an ongoing theme these days in this program, doesn't it? We always talk about that. But he wants to talk about it, too, because we talked a little bit on the phone. And anyway, that's that story. I want to talk to him. I can't wait to have that conversation. He's a good dude. So, but tonight's going to be a great show. We're talking to our buddy Chef Joe from over there, Chef Ain't Easy. You can find them on Etsy. Just type in Chef and Ain't Easy in the search on Etsy, and you can find them on there. They're great stuff, great clothes, man. I got a shirt from them, and I'm digging it. I'm going to wear it for a TV appearance coming up soon. Digging it, man. I'll probably wear it tomorrow night at the tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, one of our favorite shows of the year. And I don't think I'm going to record it this time. It is the judging panel for the New York Hot Sauce Expo, one of my favorite events of the year. We're going to go out there. I'm pretty sure our buddy Chef Chris Santos will be there, Derek Prince, all of our favorites will be out there hanging out. So that's going to be a good time hanging out with those guys and, of course, eating hot sauce and burning our faces off. I love it, though. It's so fun, man. It's one of my favorite events of the year. It kind of, like, kicks off the whole festival season this year. So that should be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. And I think we'll do some Station Head Live with those guys as well. So that's the plan. That's the plan, ladies and gentlemen. That is the plan. Because when it comes to hot sauce, I'll tear it up. I'm a big fan of it. Anyway, you guys, this weekend we had our pop-up dinner happening over at our good friends Ergo Chef Knives in Danbury. We did 30 people, 6 courses. Big shout out to my buddy Chef Damon Day for coming in and helping us out. He did a great job. Of course, shout out to one of our other good friends here from the show, Chef Jason Maurer. He is on, of course, you guys remember him. He was on MasterChef and then Cooks vs. Cons and, one of those plethora of random TV shows on the Food Network. He's been on those too. Have him on. He came and helped out. And, of course, my girls were there. And, God, it really was. We did a great dinner there. We built our kitchen. Completely out of a warehouse, man, which was great because there was nothing there. We had running water. It was about all we had. And it was, I don't know how else to say it. It was a success. And I'm not saying it to be a douche, but it really was. It was a success. And I was really happy with how it turned out and how it went. And so were the other people who came to the event, too. They dug it, man. So that's all we can say. And listen, we could do bigger. And next time we will do bigger at some point. But when you do a new area, you usually want to, take it slow. You don't need to do a bunch of people right off the bat, man. It's just not necessary. So, we did 36 courses, a lot of great food. We made some local maple sugar beignets, which were awesome. People loved them. We started with a little maple syrup. It was great. Wow, what the fuck happened just there? Everything stopped weird, and I got a weird flash on the screen. Anyway, it was great. People dug it. We did I had the most unbelievable head-on prawns that we used, which was delicious, and people loved that too. It's more about, I'm not a big fan of the prawns when they're served like that with the head-on, but sometimes it does look a little bit dramatic, It does look a little bit dramatic when you put them on the plate because they're head-on, and people can look at them and see them, and it just like I said, it just looks really dramatic on the plate. We did ours with a little bit of parsley puree, and then I made kind of an interesting style in a sofrito where I used some chorizo, and anyway, it was delicious, like, because it has that beautiful oil that kind of comes down across it. So yeah, good times, man, all around. Love the dinner. Came across well. We raised some money for a great cause, and dude, we're planning some fucking fun ass shit events up here, dude. I can't even express to you how fun it's going to be this summer. So much shit going on. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm starting my whole summer off by going to Disney next week, baby. Yeah, that's right. Disney next week for one day. I can only do it more than one day. It's too much for me. One day is enough. But we're going to have a great time over there. The kids want to go. So we're going to go over there and we'll spend a day in the Magic Kingdom. And then we will move our way to over in, I don't want to say exactly where we're going, but it's a place in Palm Coast, Florida. It's between St. Augustine and Daytona. Beautiful resort. It's a resort that I was part of the opening team on years and years ago, way back in the day. But we go there every year. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take a swig off my beer, get my ducks in a row, and get ready for this conversation with our buddy Chef Joe from Chefing Ain't Easy. You can check them out on Etsy and, of course, on Instagram. Really digging what they're doing. He's a great guy. And I think you guys will like him a lot. I can't wait to hear his story and get it out there. You're checking out Plum Love Foods Live right here on Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, iTunes, Smoke Signal, any place else you can find a podcast. That's where you're going to find this very program. In the meantime, we'll be right back. Here's Injection by my good friends Rise Against. Stay right there.
Spend your days counting the hours you're awake, and when night covers the sky.
such a great freaking tune, man. I'm on like a Rise Against kick right now, dude. I can't stop listening to him. Listen to him nonstop over there on my channel on Station Head. You can check it out. Stationhead.com. I don't mean to keep pushing the Station Head thing. I have no affiliation. I have none. Except for the fact that I'm on the fucking app. And, dude, I'm digging it so much. The app is so much fun. And, that's really all I got to say. I'm going to keep fucking talking about it. But I really, really dig it. And I think that you guys would too. The culinary community that we're building over there with the app is just amazing. Just being able to reach out and talk to these chefs and get opinions. It's really, really fucking cool. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Plum Love Foods Live. I just poured myself another I forgot to pour fucking beer. I'm such an asshole. Plum Love Foods Live right here on a Monday night. It is April. What's today's date? Today is April the 3rd, ladies and gentlemen, 2017. I never think I'd be alive in 2017. Really, seriously. The shit I've seen, I didn't think I'd be alive. But I'm here, and we're hanging out. I couldn't think of a better place to be tonight. And we have a great guest coming on here with us to talk, man, and tell his story. I tell you what, I really dig what they're about. And that's what made me, when I first I purchased a shirt from these guys, I was just kind of researching a little bit, looking around. And I found Chefanie and Easy on Instagram. And I was really into what they were doing. And I saw the Etsy. And I was like, let me go in here and check this out. And so I bought a shirt, man. And I'm fucking totally digging it. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow night, I'm going to wear one at the New York Hot Sauce Expo judging. But they're just really cool, and I just love what they stand for, man. And he believes in good family and community, and then you know they're donating money to charities when you buy. It's just what it's about, man. It's great. And I ended up having a phone call today with the owner there, Chef Joe Gorella, and dude, he's a great guy, and I look forward to having him on here and telling his story. He's making some great product. He is working his ass off every single day. He's got a new baby, 6 months old, and he's killing it over there, man. And more importantly, he sounds like a great guy, a really friendly guy. Ladies and gentlemen, my new friend, Chef Joe Gorella. Chef, what's happening, brother? How are you?
Hey, Chef, what's going on? Man, I haven't heard that many nice things said about me in a while.
Well, I did. Listen, we talked on the phone this afternoon a little bit, man, and I was like, God, this is a cool dude, man. I really like this guy's all about, so...
It's great to be able to recognize, you know, somebody that, you know, so much similar in common personally as well as professionally. You know, it's great to be able to connect and learn more, you know, meet more people, tell the story a little bit more, and let everybody know kind of what we're about and what we're hoping to do.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And I'm really digging what you're doing. But first of all, man, dude, these shirts are dope as shit. Like, you know, I went on, I was telling a story a second ago. I went on and saw what you guys were doing and digging it. So I ordered a shirt and, man, I'm really digging it, man. It's just, I love how it looks. It feels good. It's comfortable. And I just love the message behind the whole thing.
Well, thanks. I mean, you know, can't thank you enough for the kind words. That's what we're trying to do. You know, when all the, this kind of came to a thought and then turned into a plan, you know, we wanted to make sure that there were a few points that I wanted to believe in what we try to carry through our profession. So we're going to represent the people in kitchens, you know, out there grinding and, you know, sacrificing and living the life, really diving in headfirst for the love of to give, you know, to give up and to serve and to lose and stuff like that. So how we source, you know, just like what we think about in the kitchen. You go, you start to kind of think about how you want to put the dish together and where you want to pull ingredients from and who you want to work with and the things that you want to focus. Community outreach, obviously, you know, you try to make home in the restaurant, in the town that your restaurant's in. So we wanted to make sure that we worked with our community, took care of, again, some charities, No Kid Hungry, specifically is who we donate 5% of every sale to. Something that affects the country all over and, you know, deserves some attention. So if we can just do a little part to help that and more importantly, shine light on their mission and what they're doing and connect more people with them, get more people out to their events and learning about their cause and how to improve it, how we source the product, you know, the t-shirts, it's important where they come from and what they're made of. Same thing like we would do with a dish, like I had said. So, you know, everything that we try to do, there's a meaning behind. We're not just trying to slop it together. We're not just trying to make money. We're not just trying to blow up and sell hundreds and hundreds of pieces. We want to make sure that it's special, much like it sounds like the pieces that you received were. So that's all we can ask for, really, at this point.
It's just it's just cool to see, man, and I'm digging it. And just, you know, like, I'm gonna wear one tomorrow night. I'm doing the I judge the New York Hot Sauce Expo, and I'm gonna be there tomorrow night. We're actually gonna be at Chris Santos's restaurant, Vandal, doing it there. And the people that are there are just cool. And so I just can't wait to spread the word a little bit, even just to a few people who I'll be around. You know, just I think more people need to see this stuff because it's cool. And I love what you guys do. Dude, giving 5% to No Kid Hungry, that's a big deal.
I mean, you know, it's, some people would see it as a small measure, but it's what we can do and it's our part. And, you know, hopefully we can grow with that. We've reached out to No Kid Hungry to hopefully be able to plant some roots for, you know, future growth, to be able to plan events and such. And, you know, who knows where it can go. The biggest thing with what I started and kind of where we've grown to, the little bit that we have over this 3-year period is we don't want to get too big. You know, I don't want to sell more pieces to the point that when you receive that shirt, it's not special. You don't feel that connection, you know, the kind of, you already know a little bit about me and what we stand for morally. There's too much business that's done immorally, that's done for that, that post or that purchase and that one time buy, and it's not special anymore. We work real hard for our money. Especially in our business, we're out there grinding. We're giving up. We're working long hours. We're sacrificing our body, our mind. Why should we spend that on something that's not special?
Yeah. Well, I think that's what shows when you're making your stuff and you put it out there to people. It really does show. It's very well made. I love that you're giving money to charity out of it. I mean, you're right, and that means it's special. Like it's doing something. And you know that 5%, that's not coming out of. I mean, that's your profit. You take that part out of. You know, and I mean. Do you do that like absolutely. Once a month?
You know,
like
Chef, I don't know if you, yeah, quarterly is how we kind of structure it. It makes it easier. It makes cool. It so that it's a little bit more of a sustainable donation to them. You know, and it kind of just makes things easier all around. I don't know if you kind of notice, but a few kind of cool features that come on the shirts. If you have your lifestyle shirt that you had got, if you flip it up right on the front, right on the waist, there's a born on date. So when all the shirts are printed, much like a fine ingredient that you'll receive, and it actually has a date that it was labeled and packaged on, all of our shirts represent somewhere. All of our pieces, hats, beanies, shirts, they all actually have a specific born on date printed onto them, as well as that's represented on the small card that tells a little bit about our story.
Yeah, the card.
It says when the shirt was printed and stuff. So yeah, somewhere on that shirt, if you look around on some of them, they're on the wash instruction tags, and yeah, they're kind of hidden all over. But every single piece that we've made since 2014 actually has that piece on it. So just a little more to you know, create more ownership, create more uniqueness, you know, so that it's not just another shirt that you're gonna buy. And these clothes aren't cheap. Everything's more expensive, you know. So we really wanted to make sure that everything that we do has that hand homemade feel, if you will, you know, much like you can tell with the food you eat, if there's an artist behind it or if it's something that's just being kind of slopped together. And, you know, that carries on all levels, I think, much like it does with what we're doing with, you know, the apparel.
And bro, just hearing you talk about it and hear you talk about like the way you're making shirts and how you relate it to making food like that, it makes me like you even more. Like I can tell how much you care about it and how much you're into it. Obviously,
that being our profession puts a lot of responsibility on us. So we should carry that in all corners of life.
That's a great tip right there for people to hear. I mean, it really is, like, to carry that with you everywhere you go, because I mean, dude, responsibility is everything, and I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, but, you know, you meet some, you know, listen, chefs have a different way of looking at life, a different way of walking through the streets of life, a different way of breathing the air of life. It's all a very different eye. You know, I think we tend to notice more things. We tend to be aware of more things, and it sounds like you've taken that same thing you've learned in a kitchen, that whole thing where you notice more and see more and understand more. And you put it into making clothing, which is amazing.
That's the effort. You know, much like there's, you'll, just like you said, I mean, chefs see things differently, almost a secret society, if you will. And I think in the same light, there's different calibers of chefs in the industry. Yeah. And being in the industry, we start to learn, you know, the chefs that you want to be like, that really touch you and really help form who you become and inspire you and push you to do better. And then the ones that are kind of bullheaded and, you know, they tend to know everything and they don't want to learn and they don't want to see new things. And those are the ones that you kind of don't want to be like. And right. I could be that in the apparel game too. You know, we could be closed-minded. We could not respond to customers. We could not connect with people and take their right. advice and listen to their feedback. And, you know, that's what's made it. I mean, I got to tell you, we've been doing this for 3 years, and really in the past, not even 12 months, we've really started to get more of a reach out there. You know, I mean, I was selling yeah. this stuff, knocking on back doors of kitchens for the first, you know, year and a half of this, just talking
that's
with
the hustle,
people,
baby.
Connecting with the people that are in the kitchen, you know, the people that we want to hear from. And the same way we look for feedback again in our work. It's all part of that open-mindedness, that connecting with people and truly listening, whether they're on the top or they're at the bottom, as long as they got the heart, they're a part of the puzzle and they have something to offer up. And if we can do that a little bit with the people that wear our brand, the people that believe in just the meaning of the brand, and the people that maybe just carry that in their day-to-day lives and don't even know about us, then we're slowly building steam to get to where we want to be. And it's a victory.
Well, dude, it's great to see it too, and it is picking up steam for sure. But just to digress and talk about just for 1 second what you were just mentioning about how you know, we see life differently. We you know, how we talked about that. Can you imagine if the military figured out how good of a leader chefs can be? What I mean, fucking A, man, they would be trying to get all of us. how inspiring like a chef can be to a group of men and women in a kitchen. Like, you know, a chef can
absolutely,
yeah, dude. I did a pop-up dinner this past Saturday night, and it wasn't big by any stretch. It wasn't supposed to be, but we had a very, very small crew working. And, you know, I always do a little pre-shift kind of talk before we do this. And I tell the guys, I'm like, listen, these people spent their hard-earned money to come here tonight. They could have gone to any restaurant. Instead, they're coming to a knife warehouse where we made a makeshift kitchen, and we're going to serve them the most amazing food they can get in this fucking town. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And they're spending their money to come here and do that and be with us. And I said, don't forget that. Don't ever forget that. And, you know, you just start kind of trying to inspire people. I think as chefs, you know, we can inspire a lot of people. And you know, obviously, I'm joking, but goddamn, if the military ever found out about that, we'd be in trouble. We'd all be going to fucking war.
Yeah.
It's not good, dude.
No, but yeah, we build that fire. You know, we're doing something for nothing, essentially. You know, we have our own
yeah.
rewards with it, but you know, it's far from money. We're not doing this
no.
for payout. You know, you're doing no. it for the heart in it. You know, you're doing it for that. You know, for me, it was how I grew up. For me, it was what eating was. It was what mealtime was, and how the food was prepared, and how everybody had a role in it. And you know, for some people, it's voids in their childhood. For some people, it's, you know, things that happen. But we're all in it for something that is a lot less than what we're putting out there. And to
I mean,
see
for some
that
of us, it's how you pay rent for some of us. You know, I took a job in the yep. kitchen because I made more money doing that than working like at some fucking store or something stupid, you know? And
yep, absolutely.
Maybe fall
yeah.
in love with
the
it.
The harder you yeah. work, the harder you work, the more hours you get. And, you know, the more you're willing to dive in, then the more it's going to kind of kick back. And it's, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing the different avenues and the different aspects that it can do and the mentality that comes with it. The things that we notice, the things that we pick up on. I mean, just the little stuff, you know, I mean,
oh,
how many times do you give commands when you're out in public and people are like looking at you, you know, like it's just, but it makes sense. It's efficient. It works, you know, and it's,
hey, how many times
yeah,
have
great.
You walked into a store? How many times have you walked into a store and you walk behind someone to get around them and you go behind you?
Oh, all the time. Like, and they look at you like you're crazy. They look at you like, you're
I know. But dude,
yeah,
I've taught my daughters. My daughters
it
are.
Works.
Dude, my daughters are 9 and 6, and I taught them that whenever they walk behind anybody, I stay behind you. I'm like, you have to let me know you're there. If I don't know you're there, I'm gonna step on you. And now they fucking do
yep,
it to everybody.
Yep.
It's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I think it's a great piece of advice,
yeah,
though. Look, even in life,
absolutely.
You know, when you walk behind somebody, fucking tell them you're gonna be there.
Absolutely, yeah, it's efficient.
Dude,
you know, we're bred for efficiency. You know, to some
yeah.
people, that's hard to recognize. It's hard for us to kind of fit into people define as the lines, but we're built for efficiency. And, you know, the evolution, I think, is the craziest thing that sets us aside.
Yeah.
Our ability to adapt and change on the drop of a dime. That's what it's the hardest thing that you can't teach people. You know, as long as somebody's willing to work and really willing to go one direction and turn around and run the other direction, then they can succeed in the kitchen. It's the ones that don't want to work or that don't want to follow the right. And, you know, the way that we progress, I mean, just look at the business in the past 15 years. It's amazing to see the corners and the turns that that everything's taken.
Oh, dude, we've become the new rock stars, chefs in general. Like, all of a sudden, where it used to be, you know, a career where you, you know, this is a technical career where you work with your hands. Where now, dude, now you tell somebody you're a chef, like, oh, that's awesome. They want to hear all about it. Where,
absolutely.
You know, even for me, 15 years ago, nobody gave a fuck.
Yeah, it used to be, it was something for, just like you said, you know, that bump up, that kind of just place that, you went for to get out of that ordinary because you didn't fit in, and now everybody wants to kind of not fit in like us. And what a time to be in the business, you know, to be willing and able to still work hard and stay focused and keep growing, because it's an exciting time for people that are willing to do that.
Dude, you're right. And I want to let everybody know, listen, this has been already a fantastic conversation with fucking Joe here, man. We've been talking for 20 minutes. If you don't fall in love with this guy, just talking to him about the business and hearing about what he's doing. And on top of that, he's making clothes that are awesome, and he's giving to charity for each one he sells. I don't know if you're fucking breathing, if you have a pulse. This dude is awesome. You got to check these guys out over on Etsy, man. You just go to Etsy and just type in Chef and Ain't Easy, right? It pops right up.
Yeah, absolutely. You can actually just go right to Google, you know, click on that shop section that they have on top, right in between images and videos, and hit Chef and Ain't Easy. It'll bring you right there. Direct checkout, you know, everything's accepted. There's also links to the Instagram, Chef and Ain't Easy Clothing, Facebook. You can find our Chef and Ain't Easy. There's also, you know, direct links right through there.
Absolutely. And dude, like I said, I was looking for some new gear, and I found you, and I started looking at it and reading about it and stuff. And you know, I just ordered some shit from you, and that's how we connected, and it was awesome. And I thought it was super cool. And you know, like I said, tomorrow night I'm gonna rock some of the gear tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. But dude, I want to talk a little bit about what made you get into making clothing, man, because it's definitely, look, I'm not busting balls. I'm totally honest on this show, and I have to be, or that's kind of my gimmick. If I'm not honest, then you lose your credibility. Bro, a lot of people are making clothes now when it comes to chefs. It's a whole market. You know, it's back when we were kids and people have skateboard clothes. I'm not saying they're all good. I'm not saying they're all the best thing ever. I'm just saying a lot of people are doing it. What made you get into wanting to do this?
Well, to be honest, I didn't know too many of them back when I really first started thinking about this idea. When the idea had first popped up was back when I decided I was in culinary school, 2009 in Melbourne, Florida. Met a bunch of kids that were, you know, young and hungry, just like I was. Hard in the business, willing to kind of give everything up and run away from it all just to make it, you know, climb that ladder of abuse, if you will. And Chef It Ain't Easy was kind of like that heal all. It was like our, you know, amen. You hurt yourself, you cut yourself, you burnt yourself. You failed because you got drunk the night before and you had a hangover and couldn't focus and didn't get your requisition in and have your product. It was kind of shrug your shoulders and Chef It Ain't Easy. Like, we knew what we signed up for. We knew that this wasn't a life of glamour. You know, we didn't go to law school. We went to boot camp.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of my fucking school. And we all kind of sit there.
My school was, bro, I went to CIA and I went in 2000 because when I finally went there, and dude, I had no idea what I was in for. Bro, I went in. This is just a quick story just to fucking tag what you're saying. Bro, I went to CIA, and I had hair down to my waist, and I wore black eye makeup and a long trench coat. And my first day at CIA, you walk into gastronomy, we sit down in the big lecture hall, and they point right at me and go, tomorrow, when you come here, that hair, all that stuff that's on, that's all gone. If it's not, don't come back. And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, don't come back. Yeah, they say there's 5,000 people that want that spot.
Yep. That's it's no joke, you know, and that's
but I needed that,
you know.
I needed that in my life then. I needed that. I needed to have someone give me that. And you know, honestly, if I would go back and do it again, I would learn more. But back when I went, it was the greatest thing I ever could have done in my life. And you know what it taught me more than anything else? Listen, yeah, you learn hot cuisine, you learn classic French cooking, blah, blah, blah. It taught me respect. And I needed someone to teach me respect.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. 100% there. I mean, that was kind of what, that's what pushed us through. You know, it was just this thing. And then, we all kind of sit there and talk shit. And, we should make T-shirts that say this. And, we go and have the school print them. And it was just, we'd sit there and we'd just kind of talk shit about it. And then, we all split up. We all went our separate ways, started progressing, jumped into the work. I ended up back out west in Colorado for a while, and then back home, and was going through some tough times personally, and kind of woke up, ended 2013, which was a nightmare of a year for me. And January 1st, 2014, I called one of my buddies from culinary school, and I said, listen, man, I think I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna jump in, and I'm sick of the lack of pride outside of the kitchen. It was like everybody's like these famous chefs, like, that are all red carpet and stuff like this. But like, where's like the regular guy that's that hero? Like, where's the guy that's like feeding the whole town, that loves what he does, and he's just getting like his ass kicked day in and day out? Like, who's telling him that he's the shit? Because I'm hearing plenty of people talking about,
just pause real quick. Like, look, just hang out real quick, because I'm going to tell you, I know where one of them is, and I can tell you right off the bat where one of them is. His fucking name is Chef Kevin Levine down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. He is working his ass 100%. Off. That's the dude. That's the dude.
Always, always. And for the greater of the hustle. Yep. He's doing it for he's standing there, and I've never once messaged Chef Kevin, no matter how busy he was or what event he had going on, that he didn't get right back to me. It's for the greater stuff, the greater good. Yeah. And that's what it's all about. And I just kind of wanted something, and I needed a platform, and I needed a medium to be able to do it. And I mean, I'm not very fashionable. So I said, well, hell, I don't have clothes outside of my kitchen clothes. What, I put on the same T-shirts underneath my chef coats every day. So like, what about streetwear? And I hadn't seen anything. I mean, I had seen like novelty brands that had popped up. But man, I don't even know if they're around anymore. Stove Monkeys, I got a mise en place wristband from them in like 2006. And it was like more like band shirts. And I was I wanted to go, go stroll the mall or go, to the bar and have a couple drinks. And I just kind of started toying with the idea, and it took us a while. Started things very, very, very slowly. I didn't want to rush. I didn't want to try to just jump on social media, even though, Instagram's blowing things up and Facebook, because I knew that it would lose the special element that we wanted it to have. That I really wanted it to have, that I know that those kids that stood next to me through that 2-year boot camp would have wanted it to have, and the things that we used to talk about, I brought to life. I didn't change it, and I didn't make it cheap, and I didn't make it simple, and I didn't just get it off the ground with really cheap shirts at the beginning, and now we have these nice ones. Like, it's the same product we've printed since day one, and it took time to get there. Saved up, started going around and talking with people in the business, what they wanted, what they were looking for. Went, got a trademark so that we could secure ourselves and make sure that we stayed in the guidelines of everything. And we just slowly started tacking it on and building it up. Sourcing organic clothing, which, was tough. Now, I mean, it's much easier. But 3 years ago, there was maybe 4 brands that you could buy, or 4 companies that you could buy that were doing organic clothing. And we needed to find that. We wanted to find that. I'm not going to go get a frozen product because it's cheaper than a farm fresh product, so we wanted to find the best. And that took us a little more time. I didn't want to just blow it up real quick.
I think that even though,
back to them, bring it back.
I mean, you're doing organic clothing. Like I said, you look at the prices of your stuff. It's still not even that high, even though it's doing that organic clothing thing. That's expensive.
It is definitely on the pricier end of what the margins could be. But it's not really what it's about. I'm not trying to retire off of this. I'd like to think I'm pretty decent at my craft. I've had a successful work record, knock on wood. you know, I was raised to work for everything that I have. And so the brand is, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of focus and a lot of talking and networking with people so that we can stick with the points that we want. But it's not, it's not demanding in sense of, I'm not sacrificing my body, my mind, like I am in work, you know? So we don't need to make those big margins that you may see some other people make. I would rather make much less so that I know that cooks can actually afford it. I know how much you get paid as a cook. I know how much you get paid as a dishwasher. I know how you can't pay the rent. I know how you have to decide between like groceries and going to the bar for a night. Like struggles are pretty serious in the life, and it's not fair for me to make more so that you can have something that you want. Come on. You know, that's only separating. That's only hurting the people that I want to build up. I don't want to
that's the thing.
Try to sell them that I want them to do better. It's not right.
Yeah. I mean, you do a good job at building people up. I think it's an important thing to do, and you really do. I honestly do that. I wanted to buy the Herd, that Herd crew neck you have on here, but I think it's awesome, and I think it's something that everybody should say. I told my wife, but my wife and I met in the restaurant business, and she works in a corporate environment now, and I'm like, listen, when all these motherfuckers are done talking to you, just say Herd. You don't need to answer them, because she's always like, I don't know what to say. Just say Herd. And she goes, holy shit, that's a great idea. I'm like, yeah, just say fucking Herd. You got it. That's all you say. Like, if I'm talking, like, if right now, if Chef Joe tells me some shit, I go Herd. He knows I got it, and we're done. We don't need to keep talking about it.
Absolutely. That's
but,
it.
Bro, you didn't put this on a t-shirt, man. I don't wear sweatshirts. Give me that shit on a t-shirt, bro.
All right, it's coming. We're getting ready to start releasing some spring stuff, some three-quarter baseball tees to bring it in. Gonna do some trucker caps and stuff like that. So we'll get that.
We'll get that going
for sure. I mean, the design's great. You know, we've loved it. Everybody seemed to have loved it. It's very prominent to all of our lives, and it said, "Geez, too much to even think about." So yeah, we're gonna move forward with that design a bit more.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love the mise en place shirt that I got from you guys. It's awesome. Hey, so listen, what's your? This is just like some logistical questions I think people that probably would want to know. And just it's interesting to me that this whole part of the business that people don't think about. Like, it's not like you can just order one shirt when you get these made, or you have your guys make them and whatnot. What's your minimum on these?
Well, we buy in great volume. Everything's done. Every printer, artist, and kind of designer that fine tunes everything that I can't do. I keep my hands in it as much as I can, but you know, unfortunately, I'm not an artist to the point. So I buy things in great volume that are blank. Who we source from that gets the organic, the certified organic stuff, gives us to it in bulk, and then every printer is within 10 miles so that I can help kind of add to and sustain my local community as much as I can. Things are coming very close, cut down on some costs, you know, transport and shipping and, you know, all that bullshit that I can avoid by paying somebody who my kids go to school with their kids. Just makes more sense to me in a all around thing. So then we move forward with small batches. You know, we make a run, whatever we determine from feedback and, you know, from our CAE family that we send out and we kind of confide in to help us out. You know, their feedback means a lot to us. What they think of designs means a lot. So, you know, we'll send some test samples or we'll kind of, we've done some polls online through Instagram, through Facebook to ask people what they like and what they think. And then we'll gauge and, you know, move forward in small batches with everything that we do and then, you know, grow. So those born on dates will change. Let's say, for example, I do 20 of the mise en place shirts in extra large, and then I need another 20. So the born on dates will represent, you know, you could have an extra large mise en place, and let's say you order another one in maybe 3 months. Well, that one may have a different born on date. So you'll kind of be able to tell when it was and which it was. And piece is really special.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's great to know. And we should, I want to talk to you maybe even tomorrow. I'll give you a buzz and talk. I got something I want to talk to you about, but that's fucking dope, dude. I love it. I think the designs are cool. I love the Eat Clean shirt. That's cool as shit. I definitely want to get the t-shirt. I want a t-shirt version of the Herd sweatshirt, because I'll rock that shit all summer out in the Hamptons. That's dope. I'm trying to teach those motherfuckers to say Herd.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we'll, and then we're going to have some tank tops coming for the summer as well. So, things are moving at a pace that we can manage, and that we can, you know, again, like I said, keep the points that we don't really want to stray from.
So let me ask you this, man, I'm not looking for numbers, man, but is it a profitable thing for you? Like, is it actually turning a bit of a profit, like, even like, just small?
Like I said, I mean, I think it depends on the brands that you talk to. The business is it can be very profitable. It can be. I think at this point is where, you can't, it becomes a moral standpoint on the business's end. At which case we kind of need to make a shift on a consumer end, which I know is very hard these days, because we're very pressured and things are portrayed in ways that they're not, and things are sold for much more than maybe they should be. We have to be more conscious. So yes, I could make this very profitable.
Of course.
For Chef and Ain't Easy, it's not. It's not about me getting rich. Again, I like to think that all the 13 years I put into working in the industry, I've kind of laid a foundation to be able to do that and do this for more of a payback
hobby,
a payback for the path that I've been on, a payback for the respect that I have for the business, the respect for all the chefs that I pull inspiration from daily that make me a good chef. I don't really have a way to repay those people just as Chef Joe Grella. We have a way to recognize people that are out there grinding, that have their heads down. Not just if you're in the best restaurant in your city, that doesn't make you better than the person who's working the diner doing 200 covers of breakfast on his own. And, maybe the kid lives in a shack. Like, he has just as much heart as the chef of the hotel. If you're cooking with your heart and you appreciate the craft that we're all a part of and you're playing the game, I think that you deserve to be recognized just as much as the people in the magazines, on the TVs, on the radios and stuff like that. So, it's more of a network thing. It's more of a Robin Hood, if you will. I don't want to make a lot of money. I want to give people a good product that they work their ass off for. If you buy one of my shirts, I want you to be confident in what you're buying. It's worth your money. It's worth, it's going to represent who you are inside the kitchen, outside the kitchen. And you can be proud of it the same way you're proud of where you're working, who you're cooking for, what you're doing, where you live, who you love, whatever it is, man.
Dude, I mean, honestly, like, listen to you talk, like, you're such an inspiring guy to talk to, man. I mean, you really, truly are. And it's awesome to hear. And I love hearing the stories about this sort of stuff, man. Just hearing how much, you can inspire people by talking about things. And honestly, dude, I wanted to ask you, so right now, are you still working in the business, obviously, but what are you doing? I mean, you have to say where you're working and what you're doing, but what are you doing in the business in the kitchen right now?
I have kind of a personal team that we've kind of moved through places together for some years now. We're getting ready to do something new in my hometown, actually, that I went to high school in. So it's very exciting. We're still in the planning stages now, but we're getting ready to do something exciting in this little town, so that people don't have to keep traveling to the big cities and driving hours to get a good meal, a fair meal, a hearty, well-sized meal. I'm getting the opportunity to bring in what I was brought up by, all the good lessons I've learned, all the really hard lessons I've learned, and do some exciting stuff for the town that, kind of brought me up and made me who I am. So lots of excitement going on right now, firming things up that hopefully we'll be able to talk about very soon. So things are kind of in the planning process now, but we got something exciting coming.
Damn, man. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that shit. And I mean, you sound like a great guy. I couldn't think of a better guy for something cool to happen too. And hopefully we can get these shirts moving hardcore, man. Because I tell you what, I'm truly digging them, man. I really do. I think what you do here is awesome, and I think that the whole message behind it is incredible. Give me 5% to No Kid Hungry. I mean, I don't know, man. It's funny because once you and I talked a little bit about this earlier, man. Once you have kids, like everything kind of changes a little bit. You know, everything kind of moves a different direction. And to me, listen, I mean, bro, I'm a former pro wrestler. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. I'm a big dude. And I used to run security. I did security for the RZA from the Wu-Tang for a little bit. Like, I have stories. But now, ever since I had kids, bro, I fucking break down crying at a fucking Sunny Delight commercial. Like, I can't even fucking handle it. If you tell me that there's kids that don't have food to eat, I can't. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, that's crazy talk. This is the greatest nation in the world, and we have kids who can't eat.
That's what I mean.
What?
That's what I mean. What? And, you know, that had a lot to do with why we went with No Kid Hungry specifically. They are focused on our homeland, the United States. The statistics on children that are suffering it's devastating. What we need to do to help to turn it around is even more devastating that we're still suffering the problem. Again, right. Like I said, if we could pump one thing from it, the best part, I think, is the connection that we can make from people that recognize the charity and then continue to go out and, you know, talk about that and what you can, again, it's a lot like all the other problems, but it takes so little effort from all of us to really turn it around. And if we can do that small part and inspire somebody else to kind of figure out what they can do in their own community, and build pockets around it, it's only going to help the whole network get better. And it's like you said, we shouldn't be going through that. For what we do, for the knowledge that's out there, the tools that we have, the resources we have, it's something that needs more attention than it gets, and hopefully we can help make a turn on it.
Dude, if you can't listen to this dude talk and be inspired by this guy, again, I want to check your pulse, because you just gave me chills, dude. Like, I'm like, you're 100% right. It's the craziest thing I've ever fucking heard in my life, that we have kids. I don't know. And it doesn't get any easier either. I was telling you right now, I know your daughter's 6 months old. As she gets older, like, bro, it doesn't get easier. You're going to become a big mush. You're going to become a big fucking teddy bear. Like, you're not even going to, she's going to walk in the room and you're just going to fall to your knees. Like, I don't even know why I'm crying. That's going to happen to you.
Yeah. sometimes, 6 months, this has been, you know, so great. You know, I've faced 600 cover services and not walked as eggshellish as I do around this house sometimes. But I mean, now I find myself already, you know, kind of feeling that emotional pull that she has. You know, things are progressing very quickly now. 6 months, she's, you know, starting to try to crawl and sitting up and all this stuff. And man, you're telling me it gets worse. I'm in for an experience, man.
I'm shaking my head right now. I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, bro, right now she can't even crawl. Like, you can keep her contained. Like, you can put her in one of those little fucking kid cages that they make. They call them playpens, but you and I know it's a fucking cage. You put it in there, good to go. Bro, this is the thing, man. I told you a story earlier, and I don't share a lot of personal stories on this because I just don't do it. But, you know, my 9-year-old sent me a text message, and it's an amazing thing to see how far they come. And you know, she sent me that, and I almost started crying about that, bro. She sent me, it was a joke. Like, she sent me something funny, and I'm like, holy shit, this little person who I, you know, kept alive, you know.
It's the best version of yourself. You know,
dude,
wouldn't you
it's
agree?
The greatest thing
you
ever.
Look at them, and it's the best version of you. It's all the stuff that, you know, you wish that your mom decked you in the head for when you were a kid, so that you didn't end up like that 10 years later. It's just, it's really beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, I just catch myself looking at her, and it's like, you're going to be the best me that there ever was. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
Yeah. I mean, I sit in bed every night and I say that, these kids, my wife and my family, they've shown me the man that I want to be, you know, that man is incredibly hard to get to that level, to be that person that I put on this pedestal, this person I've created in my head that I want to be for them. And I don't know if I'll ever get there or not, bro. But I'm going to try every fucking day to get there. And that's the best we can do, you know?
You know, individual greatness, a little bit like we talked about.
I feel like
earlier.
We should have a hug right now. I don't know why.
I'm there hugging you.
There you go. Bro, I'm digging the brand. I'm digging the message. I'm all in. Whatever I can do to ever help you, I'm a phone call away. You got my number. And rest assured, I will be posting all over the fucking place, promoting the shit out of you guys. Dude, damn, it's such a heavy thing. I'm trying to segue into a funny bit now. I can't because it was such a fucking heavy like conversation. I'm the king of the segue, bro. Like, I can't even fucking do it. So anyway, check it out, man. Check it out. So we like to play a fun game here called What's Off the Block, brought to you by Hot Blocks Cutting Boards and our friend Chef Kevin Levine down there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hot Blocks Cutting Boards, handmade, unbelievable cutting boards. Make sure you check them out at hotboxcuttingboards.com. What's off the block tonight, bro? An interesting story about labor in the kitchen. Check this out.
America's restaurant kitchens. The Bureau of Labor Statistics predicts some 200,000 new chefs will be needed in the coming years. But the pricey cost of culinary school and low wages driving aspiring cooks away. Anita Vogel is live for us in Los Angeles with...
They just now figured that shit out?
No. Yeah, a nice location here. We're at Louie's Restaurant in West LA, a popular spot, and one of many restaurants across the nation having trouble keeping cooks in the kitchen. Heather, it seems even aspiring chefs nowadays don't want to work their way up the food chain.
I think that's true.
Here we have Jaime. Right now, he's a line cook, but due to the nature of the shortage of line cooks, Jaime is also like my kitchen right-hand man.
John Atkinson owns two restaurants in Southern California, and like many others across the nation, has trouble finding young, aspiring chefs who are willing to get their hands dirty.
It's not what you see on TV. There are no Bobby Flays in any of these kitchens. It's really just sweat and hard.
Thank God.
This is our secret spice that we have.
It's the same story in New York, where Salvatore Coppola likes to keep both his Manhattan eateries brimming with his old Italian family recipes, but also worries about finding enough help.
It's long hours. They're getting paid, you know, $15 to $22 to $25 an hour at this point, which is still good money. I mean, it's not where people are not earning. It's just a very difficult job.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates 200,000 more cooks will be needed in the next 8 years, but the supply has been chopped by the high cost of culinary school, low wages, and millennials wanting to go out on their own, like aspiring baker Brittany Hicks.
By the time we graduate, we really are like, okay, I've kind of done that already. Now let's branch out and do it for myself.
These are students who saw how their parents were impacted by the recession of 2008. They don't want that to happen to them. They're completely entrepreneurial in spirit. And so their real goal and desire is to go out and start something on their own.
Dude, I mean, that's an actual news story, like from Fox News. I mean, it's funny. I feel like they're just now, like, that's just now something they're talking about. Like, are you kidding me? I think it's been that way for 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that the business has taken some shifts to kind of lessen the impact of it. But yeah, I mean, the crisis has been, I mean, we've seen it coming for, geez, like you said, about a decade now.
Yeah. And it's funny because you hear them talk about a New York restaurant. And I know people who are in the middle of the country are checking this out, or other spots in the country hearing, well, $25 an hour. Fuck, that's good money. $20 an hour, that's good money. You're right. It is not in New York City. It's not in New York City. You couldn't fucking get a studio apartment if you made $20 an hour. That's not going to happen.
No, I'm talking, I mean, you. You know, that time,
you
know, you're,
if you
want to
live someplace else. Yeah, I mean, if you were to live someplace else, yeah, you probably could. But even nowadays, bro, even trying to move to Westchester out on the island and try to commute to the city, you can't even do that anymore for fucking the amount of money, bro. I live in Connecticut, and I commute to the city all the time, and it's still ridiculous. You know, it's crazy how much it costs to live out here. But you know, there's definitely, I think, for me, listen, here's the thing. So I'm not finding a lack of people, Chef. What I'm finding is a lack of good people. That's what I'm finding.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. people, it's the role has been idolized. So a lot of people think that they want to do it. I feel like the ones who really have the heart to do it are the ones who probably just like, much like you or much like I, where it was the place that we ended up. You know, it wasn't a pick. I know I didn't say, hey, I want to go sit in the dish pit and get, you know, covered in shit all night.
You didn't?
And then, you know, go through, you know, a long 9-year stretch of abuse to be able to make it so that I could live on my own in a place that, I wasn't scared I was going to get robbed when I walked out my front door.
Right. Oh,
you know,
fuck,
so,
you're so right.
Now we're getting more of the conditioned, the people who used to go to be office workers, or, you know, the ones who used to go to be management in retail, because management was all people aspired for. If you were management, it didn't matter if you managed a gas station, you were a manager, and that was something to be respected in society as. And now to be a chef or to work in the industry, it's something to be respected for. Much like they talked about the entrepreneurial sales that happen, everybody's they're raised to do that. Do it for yourself.
Right.
Do it for yourself. I remember being a kid in school. Opening your own business, that wasn't an option. Nobody sold that to you. They sold college.
Yeah, you're right,
you
dude. No one.
College. You have to go to college. Nobody said own your own business. You know, the people I knew,
so
there was
right.
a couple kids in my town that I grew up in. You know, maybe their father owned a construction business, and they were well off. They did well, but he was the one in, you know, muddy from head to toe all day. The kids looked like they were in prep school. The wife drove a nice car, but it came from the hard work. It wasn't a life of glamour. It wasn't, you know, the funds of it didn't matter.
Dude, you're so right about that, man. Listen, there's a couple of fucking really brilliant things you just said there. Bro, you're right. In school, and I'm a little older than you, but even in my generation, no one told you, oh, you should open a business. You should be a business owner. You should be an entrepreneur. Dude, you're right. No one ever pushes that. It's all go to college.
Go rack up debt. That wasn't even an option. You know, the guys that own the garages, you know, those are the families that have money now. That created generations of money. Because it was built on hard work, you know? So the same thing, a lot of the good chefs, they came up on hard work. It wasn't a fun thing. You ended up there, and because you ended up there, you were needed. And it was a job that had a very high demand. And now people want to do it their own way. You know, we're seeing it. The ones who are working hard, we're seeing it on the consumer end. You know, look at how unmanageable customers are these days.
Wow, good fucking.
You know,
point.
It's so hard. You have to almost bend over backwards to sell them on it. You know, that stuff didn't fly. You know, look at what was the menu in the 90s?
Yeah,
two
fucking sun-dried tomato,
beef, pork. It was nothing. Now you gotta have 150 ingredients on a 3-page menu.
Yeah.
Or you gotta be in a sealed off location enough. It's, you know, it's the
yeah,
changes
the fucking,
have started.
The customers
suffer.
Have to have
the
a fucking
smart ones.
They have to have a fucking culinary degree just to read the goddamn menu.
Oh, absolutely. You know, have you seen the cards, the allergy cards that get handed out now?
Oh my god, dude! So ridiculous. And look. Let me just tell you what I do. You know, some of the work I do as a private chef and working with clients, and I've worked with some celebrity type clients, and they all have these allergies. And dude, I started doing research on it. Do you know that if you and me, dude, I'll eat whatever. I'm pretty sure you're probably the same way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but if you and I went and had the food allergy test done, do you know that it would come back and tell you that you and I both are allergic to asparagus? We're both allergic to celery, and we're both allergic to basil. How about that?
Really?
Look that shit up, dude. I'm not fucking lying. It says every human being on the planet should not be eating asparagus, according to the test. It's fucking crazy, man. It's just, I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, the problems are, it's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. You have to cater to five or six allergens just just to launch the menu.
Dude, I did a pop-up dinner this past Thursday. Bro, pop-up dinner this past Thursday, a big media event, a lot of people there, you know, local media sort of thing. And people get there, they sit down, I post the menu a month ahead of time, tickets are sold out 3 weeks before the fucking event, bro. 3 weeks, clearly it says, no substitutions, right? Because I'm buying shit and building a fucking kitchen in a goddamn warehouse, all right? I have a pork belly course, a fucking pork belly course. And this woman tells my server she can't eat pork. What?
Oh, boy.
What?
And it's tough, you know, it's tough. You can't do what you would have done 15, 20 years ago.
No, I have to figure some shit out in my makeshift.
Exactly. You got to go. And if not, you'd be blasted on social media and you can't.
There you go.
And you weren't even the unreasonable one.
It's been there for a month. You bought the tickets.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. It's tough.
Listen.
You know, it's tough.
Bro, I just got a text from one of my servers who worked the party, who's checking the show out tonight, man. And she brought up a great point. So listen, so we had these beautiful head-on prawns, right, for the gig, for one of the courses. Unbelievable. They were fucking stunning looking, right? I had an extra one. She couldn't have pork, so I made her another course, right, using these unbelievable local salad greens that we cut that morning, this beautiful head-on prawn. I made her a course, so she went to eat the pork belly course. And you know what that cunt said to me? Sorry, I said a bad word there. I apologize. You know what she said to my server? Do you know what she said? And I want to tell you, because this is what my server just texted me. She goes, that woman also complained about a second helping of shrimp and salad. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, my God. Oh. It's unbelievable.
You know, if you don't do it and you go out there and tell her to fuck off, if you tell her to fuck off, what happens? You get shit on, man.
We all saw Jon Favreau. We all saw him go off. You can't do that.
Yeah, we did. No, not anymore.
And unfortunately, you know, that carries to the workforce. You know, I can't tell you when I was in culinary school how many kids went in. And, you know, I had worked in the business. I was down, you know, getting my ass kicked, like I had said, for years before going to school. And, you know, these kids come right out of high school and they're like, no, I'm going to own a restaurant. It's like,
are you?
You know, did you wash dishes? Did you prep cook? What'd you do? McDonald's even? Did you do something where you cooked food?
Something.
It's cool. I love the Food Network. Oh, boy. Okay, well, hey, when you drop out, let me buy those books for half price, you know?
Man.
Because I'm cooking for $9 an hour. So, you know, can I get a deal on your uniforms or something?
Dude, you're so right. Like, my group at CIA, 71 of us started that day that I told you about where they told me to cut my hair and take my eye makeup off. 71 of us started. 36 of us finished. They weed you out, bro. It's no fucking joke.
Absolutely.
And it's because especially at CIA.
What it's like when it's when you're not the one paying.
Oh yeah.
I always used to tell the kids, hey man, remember you're paying like B here. He's yelling at you and you paid him. Imagine what happens when the guy that's yelling at you is supposed to pay you. You better toughen up.
No
like
doubt.
Get your shit together and get the hell out of the way, man. Because I'm not fucking getting grouped up with you again. You know, like it's tough. It's tough. Everybody wants to do it.
Hey, and listen,
oh,
I want to throw a big shout
do
out. Dude, I got to throw a big shout out right now to my girl, Christine, who is new to the business, who is checking this show out and getting a little education tonight. And I appreciate you chiming in and listening in, because I tell you what, this business is a weird fucking business. It's a bunch of weird people. It's a bunch of people who don't need a lot of sleep. It's a bunch of people who like to drink alcohol, but it's also some of the best friends you'll ever meet in your fucking life in this business. Some of the most loyal people you'll ever meet in your life. And some of the people that you won't hesitate to call if you ever need to do the old hide the proverbial dead body. Cause these are the people that will be there for you no matter what. I just met Chef today. And right now, if I know if I needed him and I called him, it wouldn't be any questions asked. It's just the way it goes.
100%. 100%. You can always count on that. It's
just,
it's amazing when you can just you know, you can almost, to know somebody, right, to be a good friend with somebody for long term, you have to see them through ups and downs. You know, you build like an emotional connection to people that way, you know, seeing them at their highs, at their lows. And in a business like this, those highs and lows have common points. Now, they may be very different, you know. You may have been in a very high end and I may have been a very low end, but those defeats are common on many levels, you know, which is
defeat
why
is
I have
defeat,
such a
bro.
Huge problem with the bullying or the outcasting that happens in the business. You know, like feedback is feedback and being an asshole is being an asshole. There's a very fine line. And there's too many guys out there that are cooking that get off on being assholes to people that just need that little push and they could do great things. Because the defeats are the same, the victories are the same. You know, getting through service is getting through service, and that high is the same high if it's 1,000, if it's 50, if it's 20. If you did it with your whole heart and you pushed yourself all the way, it's the same high. And that you can start to, you can get to know people in much shorter periods of time than it takes to build those intimate and long-term relationships, because you can almost recognize them. You know, like you said, Chef, we've known each other and talked for maybe 3 hours as a whole today, and we can recognize each other in a sort. And it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's one of the beautiful sides of the business. It's why I feel that we're the ones that are winning, even though, like I said, we have to give up so much to do it.
Look forward to a
lot of good years of hopefully still feeling that feeling, because that means you're still on the up and up.
When
you
still
start
alive,
to feel
dude,
off and think
up.
You know stuff and get bitter, that you start to go on that decline.
Completely. Well, on that truth talk right there, and guys, before I get to the next bit, because we got to get out of here, I just saw how much time we have, but fuck, dude, we got 12 minutes left before they cut us off. I want you guys to check out, if you haven't done so yet, go check out... just Google. It's actually the easiest way to do it. Cheffin Ain't Easy. Cheffin Ain't Easy. Amazing apparel made by an even better guy. They're donating fucking money to No Kid Hungry. I mean, it's just amazing. And you got a group of people here who are going to support you, be there for you, who we didn't get a chance to talk about it. That's going to be I think we're going to talk about it next time, bro. I do a lot of roundtables on this show sometimes. We bring a couple of chefs on and we just talk shop and talk business. And I think you got to be a part of one of the next ones we do. I think we should all talk about hashtags, dude. I mean, there's so many hashtags out there, and we're just giving away people. We're giving away advertising for free to people, and they don't give a shit about us.
Absolutely. You know, I think it's a lot like a bit like I touched upon earlier about how we have to be conscious consumers now. We have to know when we're paying too much for too little. We have to not be swayed by what we see, and we have to see through the mirage and really do the research, connect with the people. You know, before you go and spend your money, we'll send a message and see if that company cares about you at all. You know, not just to try to get free stuff. And you know, that's a ploy that people play a lot. And don't get me wrong, I love supporting people that support me. I send free gifts on the very regular, but
you do.
I don't want to just send people free stuff to then use my hashtag or to just go, because the message is being lost in that. Yes, I may have millions and millions of people talking about us, but the message is lost. And I don't want the message to get lost in it. And I think the consumer, as a consumer, I'm a consumer on many levels, all of us are, we have to be more conscious. You know, if we're going to use a hashtag, we need to realize that it's advertising. That's dollars. You hashtag something and that company doesn't have, you know, can't even answer a question for you. You have a question about something and it takes them a week to get back to you. Well, how much money is that worth to you? A week to me?
Right.
If I ask a simple question about a product I even need support. Oh, hey, I'm in the city. Do you know anybody here? Something like that. And I spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars to make you more money and you can't even respond to me as a friend or recognize me as a person.
That's
not worth it. We work hard for what we have.
It sounds like there's a story there. I don't want to get into it now,
absolutely.
But it's definitely something. It sounds like there's a story there. Look here, we got to do this really quick, man, because we got to do what we learned. Play What Did We Learn Tonight? Because I gotta look out for my people. And so much, I'm actually gonna, I'll talk to you offline, man. I'm gonna get a knife sent out to you. You gotta check out these knives. Bro, Ergo Chef Knives, what did we learn today? Brought to you by Ergo Chef, the brand new shape of cutlery. We are reshaping your brain by using these knives and listening to this show. Make sure you check out ErgoChefKnives.com. Use promo code PLUM15 off to get yourself a great knife made by even better people. These knives are fantastic. I use them every single day. Chef, I learned a couple of things tonight. I want to tell them to you. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I learned tonight that there's apparently a great story there behind a clothing brand in you at some point in time where that made you quite angry. Oh, don't make you a bad person. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to comment. Fair enough. Dude, did you learn something tonight? Tell me something you learned tonight.
Oh, something I learned tonight. Well, I learned that people don't want to work. You know, they don't want to work their way up anymore. That story that I heard, you know, it's really interesting to hear how it's affecting different areas. Being in New Hampshire, it affects us a lot because the talent we have usually reaches out to those larger cities. And, you know, the fact that the larger cities are feeling it just as much is, you know, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? I mean, it really is crazy. It's just, I don't think it's a surprise, but I think to me it's more of a surprise to hear it on a big national newscast like Fox News. That's interesting to me.
Absolutely.
It definitely shows where we're going. I learned tonight that you guys give 5% to No Kid Hungry. I don't think everybody knew that. I actually did know that, but I just want to say it again. So that's me being a professional host and putting it in there. I learned that tonight. I think that's really fucking cool, man. I think that, you know, giving back to helping kids like that's amazing. I bet even that 5%, even 5% from one shirt probably could give a kid a dinner for a night.
Oh, honestly, much more. No Kid Hungry actually gives a great breakdown on, you know, what it takes to do your part and how much just a very little bit can help. And again, people would be blown away with if a few people did a small part and we all came together, we can really, you know, impact it.
I love it, dude. I think that's a big thing. Hey, listen, that's a great thing we learned right there. We all come together, we can make a giant impact on us. So make sure you check out Chef and Ain't Easy Clothing to be a part of it. And again, also on a side note, learning, that's what we do on this program. It's brought to you by Ergo Chef Knives, the new shape of cutlery. Check out ErgoChefKnives.com. Use promo code PLUM. 15 off to get yourself a great deal on an even better knife. I've had a great time talking and having this conversation with you. I feel like you and I could talk for 3 hours.
I agree. It's been a pleasure, Chef. I can't thank you enough for, you know, having me on, giving me the opportunity to tell more people about what we're doing and, you know, learn a bit more about yourself.
Dude, I appreciate it. It's been a fantastic conversation. You have an open door here whenever you want, bro. Come on and talk. We'll get you on just to you. On a chef cast where we're just doing a round table, have you come on here. And next Monday, as a matter of fact, my mentor, Chef Lonnie Hewlett, James Beard Award winner, is going to be on this program with me as I sit on the beach in Florida and drink a vacation cocktail and have him tell me how much I suck on the air. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it.
sounds like a hell of a time.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Joe, it's been amazing talking to you, bro. I appreciate it, man. You have my number. I look forward to doing lots of cool stuff in the future, man. I got some great things planned, and we'll talk off air. I have something already in my head I want to ask you about. You're not very far from me. You're in New Hampshire. It's a couple-hour drive. It's not bad.
Absolutely. Yeah, sounds great. Likewise, Chef. Can't thank you enough for the opportunity. I look forward to it.
That's my man right there. Make sure you check out Chef and Ain't Easy on Etsy. Order yourself a shirt, man. They're feeding kids every time we order a shirt, and that's what it's all about. Chef, have yourself a great night, man, and we'll talk to you on down the road.
Likewise. Thank you, Chef.
All right, buddy. Be good. There he goes. That's my new buddy, Joe, from Chef and Ain't Easy. What a great cat, man. Looking forward to talking to him in the future. I feel like I made a new friend tonight. Really, really enjoyed that conversation. It was like a whole, man love conversation. I don't know. Just it's funny. You get two people who are hardcore cooks, guys who have built their lives using food, like myself and like Chef Joe have done. And you bond immediately, man. You just bond because we've both been through the trenches. We've both been there. And he has a kid. He has a family. And you know, he's supporting his family with food, much like I am too. And I tell you what, there's nothing more humbling than that, for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode. That's episode 30, season 4 in the books. How about that? I was digging it. If you're not already on Station Head, I urge you to jump on there. We're going to jump on here in a few minutes and do a little post-show wrap-up on Station Head. New material. We'll be on there in probably about 10 minutes. But ladies and gentlemen, I am in Florida starting this week. Coming up, I leave Wednesday, but we're going to have a great show for you. That doesn't mean we're not going to do any shows. We'll be at the next show next Monday night. We are talking to the incomparable Chef Lonnie, my mentor, James Beard Award winner, an amazing chef. In the meantime, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure we get the time it deserves. I'll see you next week. Peace. I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play.